All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. September the 29th. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Monday morning, start of a new week. Wrapping up a great weekend. All is well. Hope everyone's doing well. It is a beautiful day outside. It's a little overcast. We've got a few depressions or whatever, lows, whatever they are, hurricanes off of the East Coast, and it is bringing a bit of some weather here to our side of the country, but, you know, we will survive. We just had the big Ocean's Calling Music Festival here in Ocean City this past weekend. I did not go. In fact, I actually didn't even realize it was going on until I saw a bunch of cool pictures from friends on Facebook. Looks like it was awesome. We used to have such a great music festival here. It was called Firefly. And we had it here for years. I don't know the amount. Maybe 10? Something like that. And then due to the pandemic and really just a change in attitudes at that moment, the festival closed. It said it was regrouping, finding its light. And that was the last that we saw of the Firefly. And maybe the Ocean's Calling Music Festival had something to do with it. Maybe you just can't have two music festivals in the same area at the same time. And so that is what it is. But, man, looked like a great lineup. Train, I know a friend of mine posted Train. And, I don't know, great bands. It looked like an awesome weekend. Luckily, they had a decent weekend. Unfortunately, that festival often has rain. And it looks like they were spared this time, but rain's coming. I'm actually supposed to go paddling on Wednesday. I do not think that's going to happen. I think there's a wave warning in our area, and especially down south. So we'll see what happens, but just grateful to be alive, grateful to be sober. Had an awesome weekend. My oldest son came down for the weekend and hung out with him. Yeah, he's just a great boy. Got to go to the gym, working out. We went and visited my father on Saturday, and then of course I took the boys to get some Mexican food, our favorite La Hacienda, up in town up here, and we went and stopped and had lunch there, and it was amazing, great lunch. And then of course yesterday my son's like getting ready to go back to school, and he's like, I'm gonna go, I can't find my phone. And so, you know, everybody be quiet, you know, we're calling the phone, seeing if we can hear it. He goes out and gets his laptop and brings it up, his Find My Phone. And, of course, the phone is at La Hacienda, the restaurant. And it's like 6:30. I'm like, how do you not look at your phone for a day and a half? I can't seem to go 15 minutes without taking a little look-see. And, he's one of these kids that was born before the big cell phone rage. In fact, he did not grow up with the iPad. I mean, he grew up during the time of the iPad. He didn't become an addict. He didn't become addicted to the iPhone and iPad and stuff. And so he just isn't really into his phone. I know he has his laptop. He must get messages and phone calls through his laptop and stuff like that. You know, it's so funny how times have changed. You know, when I was growing up, we had, a TV, right? And we had a radio, and we had albums and cassettes and stuff. And then there was this kind of, and I remember with my stereo at home, I had, you know, two speakers, and it was beautiful. I jammed my stereo. My parents hated it, but I loved listening to things loud. My ears are paying for it today. But then we went through this kind of period where all of a sudden, I remember where we live, there's an outlet. We have the outlets here, and the Bose outlet opened. I don't know if anyone remembers, but you could go in there and sit down, and they would turn on the TV with the 5.1 surround sound system, right? And they had these big speakers all around, and they had these covers on them, and you'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. And they'd lift up the covers, and they were these little Bose cube speakers, and, you know, the surround sound era came about, and the center channel and the subwoofer, and it was great. I had, you know, when I was out in San Diego, I had an amazing stereo system, big speakers, always listening to things too loud, of course. And my dad was, you know, when we moved here, he made a little theater room, and it had, you know, surround sound and 5.1, and yeah, it was just awesome. And today, nobody seems to give a shit about sound anymore. My, you know, of course, cleaning out my parents' house, they had a few flat screen TVs. I'm like, you know, Dave, do you want a TV? Nah, I just watch everything on my phone. And I'm like, wow. And my son, he listens to everything on his phone and watches everything on his phone. And they have no desire to hear anything in surround. It's always just that little, they've become cool with just the little iPhone speakers, which I think is funny. And so now, you know, my generation's stuck with a bunch of speakers and a bunch of, you know, surround sound equipment. You know, cleaning out my dad's house, he's got all this amazing equipment, and nobody cares, right? Nobody wants it. I bought this amazing Sonos Center speaker for our TV here. My wife's like, turn it down. It's freaking crazy. Obi Trice, real name, no gimmicks. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back.
Shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor, some vodka that'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shock when I get shocked at the hospital by the doctor when I'm not cooperating, when I'm rocking the table while he's operating. Hey! You waited this long to stop debating, cause I'm back, I'm on the rag and ovulating. I know that you got a job, Miss Cheney, but your husband's heart problem's complicating. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on MTV, but it feels so empty without me, so... Come on and dip, come on your lips. Fuck that, come on your lips and come on your tits and get ready. Cause this shit's about to get heavy. I just settled all my lawsuits. Fuck you, Devin! Now this looks like a job for me. So everybody, just follow me. Cause we need a little controversy. Cause it feels so empty without me. I said this looks like a job for me. So everybody, just follow me. Cause we need a little controversy. Cause it feels so empty without me. Little hellions, kids feeling rebellious, embarrassed. The parents still listen to Elvis. They start feeling like prisoners helpless. Till someone comes along on a mission and yells, bitch! A visionary, vision is scary. Can start a revolution, polluting the airwaves, a rebel. So just let me revel and bask in the fact that I got everyone kissing my ass. And it's a disaster, such a catastrophe for you to see. So damn much of my ass you ask for me. Well, I'm back. Fix your minutes and I'm tuning in and I'm gonna enter in and up under your skin like a splinter. The center of attention, back for the winner. I'm interesting. The best things in wrestling, investing in your kids' ears and nesting.
Eminem, Without Me, great song. I actually saw Eminem at the Firefly Festival the last time we went, and so lucky. It was a great festival, man. I got to see a lot of great bands. Killers a bunch of times. Eminem, who do we see? I saw, hard to remember at the moment, but a lot of great bands. Very cool. We'll definitely miss them, but yeah. So I thought I'd come upstairs, see if I could do a podcast. I had, you know, like I said, my son, my kids were down for the weekend. Well, my son Sam was with us for the week, but Dave came down for the weekend. And of course, you know, I have two big boys, right? Two big guys. My oldest son, he's like 6 foot. Sam's 14. He's almost 6 foot. Sam's like, he should be playing football. The kid's a hoss, man. He's like corn fed. Just thick. And Sam, or David, of course, is super skinny like I was as a kid, like a green bean, but super lean and just fit and really a lot of fun to father two kids. And, of course, my daughter's amazing too, but different complete category, right? Not even in the same world, right? Amazing girl, love her, brings me so much joy. But, you know, today or that day, this weekend, I was with the boys and we've been going to the gym. I've been trying to attack my fitness, right? Fix my problem, get into some shape. Unfortunately, I share it all on this podcast, so I apologize about that. But my latest thing is I've been going to the gym and doing the elliptical, and I've actually started seeing results. I'm starting to feel a lot better, getting stronger. I've been lifting some weights. My boy's interest in going to the gym is what got me back into the gym. Had you asked me about the gym prior, I'd have told you, I don't like the gym. Right? It's funny that I do that. When I'm not interested in something, all of a sudden I don't like it, and then one day I find interest and I love it. So I'm in that I love it mode again. And but we've been lifting some weights, and I've been lifting by myself. But, you know, one of the cool things, yesterday we lifted together, and, you know, I've always gone to the gym. I mean, not always, but especially when I got sober, you know, it was like, all right, I've wasted enough time in my life. Let's get our shit together. And started spinning with my buddy James, and you know, James was a great guy because he was one of the first people I met in the program. He welcomed me to recovery, and he also welcomed me and guided me on, you know, life, right? Working out, taking care of myself, taking vitamins, which I do not take anymore. But, you know, at the time, I'm like, yes, must catch up. And him and I used to go work out a lot together. In fact, a lot. We worked out a lot together. And it was awesome, man. I felt good. I got strong. I got sort of buff, right? I got some muscles, and it was great. Feeding into that ego still, right? But, the nice thing about that was that we did it together, right? I could rely on him. He could rely on me. You know, if you're a person that goes to the gym or works out with other people, we tend to spot each other, right? Especially if you're working out with some weights, counting out their, you know, their progress. 2, 3, 4, right? You know, it's something about it, right? It's something about that energy that's keeps me coming back, right? And when I started working out with my boys, you know, I would, you know, my oldest son, David, would do a set. I'd be like, all right, 3, good job. 4, he's like, all right, you don't have to count for me, right? You don't have to, you know, boost me up. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll sit over here, you know. And then, and that is fine. They're not used to that, right? Because it is awkward to have somebody rooting you on, right? It can be a little awkward. And, but my buddy James and I did it for so long, and my other friend Scott and several other people I worked out with, it's just kind of this thing that we do in the gym when we're working out with friends that we sort of, you know, high five, good job, get an extra one, you know, drive. I used to work out with these guys over at Gold's Gym back in the day. They were nuts, slapping each other with powder on their hands. it was like WWE. That's how I ended up hurting my back, of course. But so anyway, we go to the gym yesterday and we're lifting some weights. We're doing some chest, and everything that we seem to do or have been doing up until this point doesn't necessarily require somebody to help you. You're not going to get stuck under anything as far as the stuff that we've been working on. Home. And so, you know, helping each other, rooting each other on, spotting really wasn't required. But yesterday we went to the bench press, which is just a bar, and then you just put weights on it, and you press it. And you need help, right? You definitely need help. I have been in the gym and worked out with people doing bench press and being spotted and, you know, getting those extra ones, and it's great. And then I've gone to the gym by myself and tried to do bench press by myself, and you literally got to be careful because, God forbid, we get stuck under the bar and we have to have somebody come over and help get the bar off of our chest, right? Which could easily happen because it's heavy, and you really, I'm lifting to, you know, where I can't lift anymore. So yesterday we were doing bench press, and I'm like, you know, we got to spot each other, and this is why we do it, right? And we root each other on, and, you know, my kids started to kind of get it. You know, they spotted me, I spotted them, they spotted each other, and we worked out and did weights that we would have never done. Right. And I think my kids started to understand why, you know, it's cool to work out with somebody, why it's kind of cool to support one another. And I think they realized that they wouldn't have done any of that, right, if we had not been there supporting each other. And, you know, it's a lot like recovery, right? I'm going to have to bring this about recovery. But it is, it's a lot like life, really, as I've started to learn. But when I came into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and Ron M. said, "Hey, man, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor." Really what he was saying is, "I'm going to be your spotter, right? And I'm going to root you on. And when we get to tough situations, when we get to tough lifts, things you just can't quite do, I'm going to be there to help you lift it up." And it's absolutely why I'm here today. It's absolutely why I am still sober and going to meetings to, you know, this like I do, and working on recovery and sponsoring people. It's because he, you know, he was my gym partner. He was my recovery partner. And without him, you know, I would have never gone to the meetings that I went to, right? He's like, "Meet me here at this time. We're going to a meeting." And I said, "Okay." And I remember meeting, leaving my car, jumping in the car with him and three other guys and driving up to Dover to go to a meeting. And, you know, we've all heard at the meeting before the meeting, and then we would get to the meeting, and then we would all chat after the meeting, and then, of course, the meeting in the car on the way home. And never would have done that, right? Had Ron M. not said, "I'm going to be your guy," I would have, if I had stayed with it, because I don't even think I would have, right? I'd sort of been in this sort of predicament a few times. And, you know, my history shows that, you know, I may show up a couple of times, and then eventually, you know, those demons drag me back from wherever I was, and or back to wherever I was, I should say. And I wouldn't have any success. But Ron was like, "Listen, I'm going to be your guy, and we're going to get through this together." And I was like, "Awesome." And, you know, I see it today. You know, I have a lot of friends today. I've been doing this for quite a while now. I'm sort of past that, you know, I could step off at any moment point. But, you know, I still need support. You know, I've talked about how I sponsor these guys. And, you know, the first thing I said is, "You need to join this meeting and make this your home group. And we'll take some commitments, you guys." You know, one of the guys I sponsor does the coins, and the other guy I sponsor makes coffee. And it's come up a couple times where I haven't felt like going to this meeting, the Wednesday night meeting, my home group, because of different things, right? Success really is what I'm fighting with this meeting, because it has become so big and popular that it's almost too much, right? I tend to like a smaller meeting, you know, a little more, 15, 20, 25 people or something like that. It's a good meeting. This meeting's got like 70 people in it now. And it's just because of the success of the meeting. It's doing very well. It's got, you know, it brings, you know, it's got a lot of opportunity for service. I think service is what keeps meetings healthy. You know, there is a lot of magic that takes place when you have new people doing service and you have new people coming to meetings and, you know, people shaking hands and introducing themselves. And, you know, I remember my first meeting, and I was such a black hole, really. I was so negative. I was the opposite of living. And just to shake somebody's hand that wasn't in a bar or over a pool game or a drug deal, right? But just to shake somebody's hand and say, "Hey, welcome, man. My name's so-and-so. What's your name?" And you say, "Yeah, my name's Tom." And they're like, "Welcome, man. You never have to go to your first meeting again." I was like, holy shit, right? But it was like powerful. Right, these are major achievements. That was a huge achievement for me, right? And to hug another man, to hug a woman, right? But not like expecting something or looking for something, but just to be like friends. I remember my first coffee commitment to be, you know, it was like the most freaking important thing I was going to do all week. All week I thought about making that coffee, and I would get there early. You know, I get home, I get shower, get cleaned up, put on my best, right, and show up early and get that coffee made, get the cookies out, fold over a napkin for a spoon, get, you know, it was the most important thing that I was doing. And for a person that was like a black hole, these were just small little things that started to fill me up again. And it was just incredible. And so, you know, it was great to work out with my kids the other day and sort of teach them why, you know, it's not weird. Because when I start counting for my son, he's like, "What are you counting for me for? I know how to count." And it's like, "Yeah, but, you know, this feels good to me. It feels good to me to root you on." And it's and it should feel good to you to allow it, right? Because that's half the battle, right? Allowing people to care about us. And it was hard to explain why we do that. And the point of it is because a lot of the stuff we were doing didn't require help. But when we went to the bench press, man, it was a changer, right? It's always been a game changer. And I've never been great at bench press because I don't know. I just, you know, I work out with guys who are putting like two plates on each side and warming up with it. I've got like a bar. You know, I have gotten to a place where I am not completely embarrassed about the weight that I'm working with. But, you know, I'm not there now. I mean, we started yesterday. I started with a bar, which is 45 pounds. And I quickly got up some weight, but not too high. But my kids were spotting me, help me unrack it. You know, if we start to get to a heavier weight, you know, that can be affecting the joints as you unrack the weight. And, you know, and I'm just teaching them, you know, my one son, he's got one foot up there and he's kind of got one hand. I'm like, both feet, get above them, get right, you know, get over there. Let him know you're there. Let him know that if things aren't working out or going or start to go wrong, that you're right there for him. You know, that's where a lot of injuries happen. And that's where a lot of people, you know, I can remember it wouldn't have taken much to have gotten me out of the program early on. But early on, I was surrounded, excuse me. Early on, I was surrounded by, whether it was Ron M., whether it was my buddy James, my buddy Scott, my buddy, you know, Rick, Tim, you know, it's all of these spotters that were in my life when I came into the program, always keeping me, you know, making sure that I'm not getting stuck under the bar. And I'm super grateful for that. But it was fun to teach them that. And by the end of our workout yesterday, they understood, you know, it's important. It doesn't have to be, you know, because I think we always, or I should say, I remember, you know, seeing people work out and, you know, spotting. And, you know, my buddy James, we used to do squats and he used to freaking get behind me, right? In the most, in a sort of inappropriate way. Like not many men were up behind me with both hands around my freaking chest and stomach and just right there as I squatted, and he would squat right along with me. Oh, and if I couldn't come back up with it, he'd be right there. Ooh, you got this. Let's get an extra one, right? Let's do it. You go down, I'll get you back up, or I'll help you down, you get back up, just to get that extra little bit. And, you know, and that's really where I started to see some progress, whether it was in the gym or whether it was in recovery, right? Because early recovery, I felt like a lot of my friends were that way, just behind me, arms around me, just, I got you, man. I got you. Whatever we're going to go through, I've been there, right? I love the story about the guy. I'm going to fuck this story up, but I think I've said it, but you know, the guy that is down in a hole, right? And all the people are walking by and he keeps yelling, give me a hand, get me out of the hole. And nobody stops to help him. And then finally a guy sees him and he's like, give me a hand, pull me up. And the guy jumps down in the hole and he goes, well, what'd you do that for? Now we're both stuck in the hole. And he goes, yeah, but I've been here before and I know the way out. And that's what it felt like, early recovery. I've been here. I've been new, right? Waiting for that 6-month coin, right? Questioning, am I doing the right thing? And yeah, it was a big deal. And so really fun weekend hanging out with those guys. And by the end of the day, they're like, yeah, I get it. And by the end of the time of us working out, and I, you know, I looked at my oldest son because he, you know, he's that guy. He wants to bench press, but he's also intimidated. And, you know, you're also like, what are other people looking at me thinking, how much, you know, I'm only lifting this bar. Are people making fun of me right now? At my age, I don't give two shits, but at 20, you know, we start to think about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's like, that was a good workout. And he goes, I did things that I wouldn't have been able to do. And I go, that's right. That's why we're there. And I said, David, never, ever hesitate, especially when you're at the gym. Well, usually at the gym, right? I'm not sure any other time. But, you know, if you're at the gym and you want to do something like a bench press or something, if you ask any person in the gym, hey, can you spot me for a minute? They would love to, right? Because we've all been there. And if you're in new recovery, right, and you need a little help, don't hesitate, right? Ask somebody, hey, can you give me a second of your time? Do you mind? I have a question. Or because believe me, everybody that's in recovery is just wringing their hands, waiting, right? Waiting for somebody to ask for some help. And it was a good weekend, man. I was very happy. But you know, the other thing is I had to drive up to Milford this morning to go get my son's phone, which he left. And now I got to mail it to him. So it was a good weekend. A lot of fun hanging out with those guys. I met with the, I want to also say, you know, something else. I listened back to that podcast I did. You know, I don't know. I don't want to sound like, I don't want to be too tough. You know, there's something that's interesting about anonymity that to me is the key to the success of our program. And it's just the fact that it's anonymous. And it's a chip on my shoulder that I have about a few people that use their last name. It's really two people. It's really one person. And I just don't think they should. I should either say something or their sponsor should, right? But I shared the other day, a sponsor uses the last name. And I'm trying to figure out, right, why? It would be one thing if 50% of the room, right, used their last name and 50% didn't, and you were sort of on the fence. But I don't know anybody that uses the last name in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I have to, you know, one of the things about anonymity is that, you know, this, I guess it's a rule, right, a tradition, a suggestion. But you have to remember, back in the day when this started, the people that were alcoholics were fucked up. They're fucked up people, man. It was a jail, institution, or death, oh my. Right? There was, you know, if the neighbor John was an alcoholic, we all knew about it, right? Because it was probably a lot of problems, and, you know, you can get a little label on you. And so for someone to become, find recovery and become sober, you didn't want to say, yeah, I'm a recovering alcoholic, because that may, you know, the stigmatism was so bad, they may really, you know, be judgmental about you. We've come a long way in recovery. And, you know, even as a person that's been sober for a long time, I have struggled with the title of being an alcoholic for a long time, right? Just because I am a recovered alcoholic doesn't mean that I am as white as snow, for one. And two, you also have to remember, you know, people that are drinking, right, maybe where I was prior to coming into the program, which is a guy that was not an alcoholic, right, I just drank a lot and then had a lot of problems. But I was an alcoholic. I know a lot of people like that. And they'll ask me, how long have you been sober, you know? But like even in my business as a hairdresser, you know, I have lost clients because I'm sober, right? Some people don't want to be, some demons don't want to be around that. You know, they don't want to, because it makes people look back at themselves. You know, I've said before, people say, why don't you just go to the bar and have seltzer? Like, nobody in the bar wants a fucking sober guy in there, right? Nobody wants to be around that. And so it's important, you know, and I can tell you, when I got sober, the first thing I wanted to do was stand on the rooftop and yell, I'm sober, right? Look at me, I'm in recovery. You know, I don't know. But it's, you know, I love that dude. He's a fucking doing great job. He's right where he's supposed to be. But, you know, spiritual awakening, using your last name, I just got a little, I guess I got a little bit of a demon in me that day. And so, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm bad-mouthing him, because I'm really rooting for him. I'm rooting for everybody. But, you know, we shouldn't use our last name. It just is, we're not Alcoholics Anonymous for nothing, right? We should keep it anonymous. Sometimes it benefits us and we do not even really understand why. But yeah, let me read the daily reflections, and then I've got to go mail my kid his phone. And great day, great weekend, great day to be sober. I'm not going to any meetings this week. I'm just going to announce that. I'm supposed to go to a meeting tonight. I'm not going. I'm not going Wednesday, and I'm not going Friday, because we're leaving for Mexico. And I don't want to get sick. I was at a meeting the other day, and this guy's next to me coughing. This is that time of year where, you know, I used to go to a lot of meetings where we would hold hands at the end of the meeting and say a prayer, and then that sort of faded off. The Wednesday night meeting does hold hands. This is the time of year where people are like, you know, I'm going to just stand in the back. I'm fighting a little cold. And we're leaving for Mexico on Saturday. I am so ready and excited that I just don't want to get a cold. So I talked to my guys. I told them I'm not going to the meeting this week. I'm going to get to Mexico. I'll catch up next week. All right. Daily reflections. Exactly alike. September the 29th. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Yep. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 89. A man came into the meeting drunk, interrupted the speaker, stood up, and took his shirt off, staggered loudly back and forth for coffee, demanded to talk, and eventually called the group secretary an unquotable name and walked out. I was glad he was there. Once again, I saw what I had been like, but I also saw what I still am and what I still could be. I don't have to be drunk to want to be the exception and the center of attention. I have often felt abused and responded abusively when I was simply treated as a garden variety human being. The more the man tried to insist he was different, the more I realized that he and I were exactly alike. Yep. I had a guy come to a meeting once that was drunk, and I was like, oh my God, what is he doing here? Too funny. All right, listen, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye. Testing, attention please. Feel the tension, soon as someone mentions me. Here's my 10 cents, my 2 cents is free. A nuisance, who sent? You sent for me? Now this looks like a job for me. So everybody, just follow me. Cause we need a little controversy. Cause it feels so empty without me. I said this looks like a job for me. So everybody, just follow me. Cause we need a little controversy. Cause it feels so empty without me. I just get a task and I go tit for tat with anybody who's talking this shit, that shit. Chris Kirkpatrick, you can get your ass kicked. Worse than them little Limp Bizkit bastards. And Moby, you can get stomped by Obi. You 36-year-old bald-headed fag loner. You don't know me, you're too old, let go, it's over. Nobody listen to techno, now let's go. Just give me the signal, I'll be there with a whole list full of new insults. I've been dope, suspenseful with a pencil ever since Prince turned himself into a symbol. But sometimes the shit just seems everybody only wants to disgust me. So this must mean I'm disgusting. But it's just me, I'm just obscene. Yeah. Though I'm not the first king of controversy, I am the worst thing since Elvis Presley. To do black music so selfishly and use it to get myself wealthy. Hey!